There are times when a certificate of correction might receive greater scrutiny by the examiner. It's important to know what these circumstances are so that you can be prepared to respond if there is an additional question or a rejection from the examiner requesting additional information. If the filing that you're correcting has already been corrected once or maybe even more often, that's going to raise a red flag for the examiner, and they may reach out for additional information from you just to make sure that the document that you're filing is something that really needs to be filed. If the correction is substantial, more than a revision to a clerical error, that might cause the examiner to pause and look a little bit more carefully at the certificate of correction before filing it. If the filing that's being corrected has been on file for quite a long time, especially if it's been on file for a year or longer, the examiner is going to look at that certificate of correction a little bit more closely just to make sure, again, that it's appropriate for it to be filed. So these are just, whenever you have that situation where you need to correct something in a prior filing, these are some of those things to be aware of that might cause rejection. It is extremely important that the certificate of correction be signed by the correct individual, by an authorized person. So if the instrument to be corrected is a certificate of formation, only the organizer identified in those formation documents can sign a correction to that certificate of formation. So if you want to do a correction to a document, whoever originally could sign the document that's being corrected is the one who needs to sign the certificate of correction, and that is something that the examiner is going to be looking for. So take a little extra time before the document is filed just to make sure that the person signing it is the correct person to sign off on it. Now, if a managerial officer or president can sign off on the document that's the title that needs to be signing the correction, it doesn't have to be the same individual because your presidents can always change, but it does need to be the same title signing off on the correction. Restated certificates of formation. So whenever you're filing a restated certificate, it's important to know what information must be included, what can be included, and what doesn't necessarily have to be included. So there's a lot of options to go with the restated certificate. The organizer information can be omitted, but the restated certificate, at least now, must include the number of names and addresses of the governing authority. After September 1 of 2021, this changes slightly. There's been some change as far as the governing person having to be included in that restated certificate for certain entities. So it's important to check the statute after September 1 just to see how that governing person requirement has changed. If the entity, the subject of the restated certificate, was formed pursuant to a plan of merger or a plan of conversion, there are also particular statements that must be included in the restated certificate of formation, notably that the entity was formed either pursuant to a plan of merger or a plan of conversion. Important to check Business Organizations Code, Chapter 3.005, just to make sure before you file that restated certificate, to make sure all of the elements that are set out in the statute are satisfied by the document that you'll be filing. It'll help avoid those rejections and get that document approved much quicker. Conversions and mergers, complicated business. When I came to the Secretary of State, I have a business background, but I have not dealt a lot with conversions or mergers prior to now, and it is complicated business. So these are also some tips to help whenever you are facilitating and filing documentation for this type of an activity, that you're more likely to be accepted rather than rejected. So with a conversion, it's important that you file the certificate of conversion at the same time as you submit the certificate of formation for the converted entity. File both of those documents together. Failure to do so will be most likely a quick rejection for you to correct that. If you decide not to file the plan of conversion with the documents that you send to the Secretary of State, again, there are certain elements and data that need to be included in that certificate of conversion. The name, type, and jurisdiction of both converting and converted entities must be included. A statement that the plan of conversion has been approved and where it can be viewed needs to be included in the certificate. And a statement that the laws of the converting entity have the jurisdiction for that converting entity have been followed must also be included in that certificate of conversion. Again, these are statutory requirements, and if they're not included, there will be cause for rejection. The certificate of formation also must include certain elements as set out in Chapter 3 of the Business and the Business Organizations Code. So it's always important to look at that and make sure that those elements are in your certificate of formation. Again, it helps our review and it helps get that document approved and back to you much quicker.